Or shall I work in the factory and greasy up my clothes? No more shall I work in the factory, splinters in my toes. Pity me, my darling, pity me, I say. Pity me, my darling, and carry me away. No more shall I hear the bosses say, boys, you better doff. No more shall I hear the bosses say, spinners, you better clean up. Pity me, my darling. Pity me, I say.
Welcome to No One Is Legal Radio. My name is Ryan Hayes. I'm joined in the studio with Sheila Hewlett and our special guest, Jim Nugent. Today is January 15th, 2010. You were just listening to a track by American folk singer David Rovix. It's called Lowell, Massachusetts, about female factory workers and the exploitation that they faced in factory work there. And it's an apt song for our show today, because we're going to be talking about the rampant exploitation of workers, migrant workers, that is, especially those without full status, in the sweatshop city we call Toronto.
As you may have already heard by now, four construction workers with precarious immigration status fell to their deaths on Christmas Eve in one of the worst workplace disasters Toronto has seen in decades. The swing stage scaffolding they were working on broke into two pieces, plummeting the four workers over 13 stories on the concrete below at 2757 Kipling Avenue. A fifth worker, who survived the fall, is in critical condition and will need medical attention for the rest of his life. Workers without full status are forced to work in the most dangerous jobs in the country and are systematically prevented from being able to assert their rights to a decent workplace, to fair compensation, to safe working conditions. We can talk all we want about specific reasons that led to the fall of those workers on that fateful day, but fundamentally these workers were killed because a Canadian state denied them full status, denied them the ability to assert their rights. We discuss this issue in depth today with our guest, Jim Nugent. Jim is an organizer with No One Is Illegal, a board member with the South Asian Women's Rights Organization, and has been a construction worker for over 30 years. Welcome to the show.
All right, Jim, I know you have first-hand experience in this field, so maybe you could talk to us a bit about the regulations surrounding dangerous construction work, especially as it relates to these swing stages, the swing set stages, and maybe a bit more, too, about what are the laws and what you believe sort of happened in this case, and maybe why appropriate safeguards were not followed.
Well, I brought about 20 pages of regulations with me regarding swing stages, the point being that it's a very, very strictly regulated construction operation, the use of swing stage, what they call suspended scaffolding. And we've worked on them a long time, and the rules and the procedures and everything else is really, really well known. And and it's known that it's a dangerous job. And when there's a dangerous job, people have to take precautions to make sure that nothing happens. And in my opinion, that wasn't done in this case. There was a wanton disregard for the safety of the safety of the workers. It seems to me that they were regarded as expendable and not worth the trouble of making the job safe. So one of the important points about this case is that there was Ministry of Labor intervention on this site. There was at least for 8 days of or for a whole month rather of repeated inspections. There were 8 inspections. There were 6 stop work orders. The whole picture that emerges from that is a job site that was in chaos, a job site that was where there was we know that there was total disregard for compliance with the laws. The stop work orders indicate that. So, you know, the question is, well, the ministry is doing its job. Well, that's a really scratching the surface, because the ministry has the has immense powers to ensure the safety of the of workers on the job. And they had the option, for example, of shutting this whole company down everywhere that it's operating in the province of Ontario, telling them, giving them, shutting them down for 2 weeks, a month, whatever it takes for them to convince the ministry that they were going to be serious about doing this kind of work. And the ministry decided not to do that. They decided to turn a blind eye to the chaos and the incompetence of the management and the and to the disregard for compliance. They decided that whatever's going on in this site where these migrants are working is good enough. Mm-hmm. Myself and other construction workers in Toronto and other working people take great exception to this, that the there can't be any division between workers who are migrants and workers who are immigrants and workers who are have status and workers who don't have status. There's a working class in this city, and anything that's not good enough for any of us isn't good enough for all of us. An injury against one of us and a degradation, inhumanity against any of us is an inhumanity and degradation of all of us. Mm.
So have there been, following the events of that day, have there been specific responses that you've heard of from the Ministry of Labor or the police or the company that perpetrated this sort of unacceptable situation? Like, following, obviously the workplace was in chaos. They were supposed to have safety lines and did not. So do you know of the responses following the incident?
Well, there have been responses. For example, the police issued a statement that the lifelines that harnesses weren't in use and so on. The drift of all of that seems to be that somehow that it's the workers who are at fault for in this whole scenario. And this is a entirely and it's their job to make sure that everyone goes home at night, and it's the ministry's job to ensure that those employers are fulfilling their responsibility. So this whole discourse of the police and the ministry, while we did our job, we inspected 8 times, all of this, you know, people weren't tied off, all of these accusations against the victims are totally unacceptable. It's very clear where the responsibility lies. It lies with the management of the building and the general contractor, and with the ministry for turning a blind eye.
And so, what do their responsibilities need to be? How do they need to act to fully respect the rights of migrant workers and all workers, as you said, in the city?
Well, first of all, you know, a worker who doesn't have status is in a very, every worker's in a precarious situation in one sense. Even workers who have unions that you still have, when you have hiring halls, you have a reluctance to make trouble and there's no job security. But for an undocumented person, this is the ante's raised, mm-hmm. of risk is raised way up high to refuse to do work that's assigned, and they have fear of deportation. They have fear of not being able to find another employer that will accept a worker with no status. So the whole condition of lack of status is tremendously increases the risk that that workers are put under on a job site.
Yeah. And often this is sort of, so we recognize that this issue of status is sort of at the forefront, but when we raise these issues with the police or when we raise this issue with the Ministry of Labor, they say that it's an issue of jurisdiction. How do you think we should respond to them when they say something like that, or when the police say everyone has the right to report a crime, they just might end up getting turned over to immigration enforcement, which is obviously a clear double standard that actually does not give people the right to access things that they have in name. So what do you think we have to say to people like the Ministry of Labor
Well, it's not just what should we say. We some time ago approached the Ministry of Labor, some people from No One's Illegal, myself included. We asked them to put in place a policy that would ensure workers with less than full status, undocumented workers, other people with less than full status, that they could access the protection of the labor standards, like, you know, pay and vacation pay and so on, and the safety standards through the Ministry of Labor, and be assured that their information would not be handed over to the immigration authorities, that there wouldn't be any repercussions. So we approached the ministry and asked them to institute a don't ask, don't tell policy, and their answer was that, well, you know, don't ask about immigration status and don't reveal any immigration status to immigration authorities. Their answer was, well, you know, everyone in Ontario, whether they're undocumented or have status, they all have protection. They can make anonymous complaints and so on. But they, you know, we replied back that the issue is, we were asking them to do a proactive policy of going out to sites, making workers aware that there would be no repercussions, that they have an explicit policy of refusing to cooperate with immigration authorities regarding undocumented workers, and that to make this known and to do outreach and be proactive. And they refused. They said, you know, very coldly, considering what's happened, that immigration status, quote, are a matter of responsibility of the federal government. So that may be true, but the safety of workers is the Ministry of Labor of Ontario's responsibility, and they've failed. Mm.
So, Jim, you and I, we were both at the vigil that was held last Thursday, January 7th, outside of the building for the workers who were killed. Perhaps maybe you could tell us a bit about sort of the importance of the vigil, and maybe one thing that was mentioned at the vigil, the sort of historical precedent for the way that, you know, migrant workers' lives have been sort of treated with such lack of dignity and respect in the workplace. So maybe you could maybe elaborate on that a bit and what we heard at the vigil.
One of the themes that kept coming up, and of course, was the death of the five workers at the Hogs Hollow tunnel fire in 1960, where non-unionized construction workers were in a terrible situation, where they kept, rather than fixing a pressure problem, they just kept jacking the pressure up in this tunnel, kept jacking the pressure up to keep the tunnel from leaking, rather than taking measures to stop the leak, other measures to stop the leaks. So eventually, they put so much pressure into that tunnel that there was a small spark, and it just set off and then the tunnel collapsed, and the workers were, some workers were burned, some workers were drowned, and it was a very similar situation to the workers that were killed 50 years later. And of course, there was a big investigation, and laws were changed, but at the end of the day, migrant workers died in 1960 because they were low status in the society, and they died again because of lack of status in this Christmas.
Yeah, and I think you brought it home totally to an issue of status that, you know, not only makes migrant workers, you know, in precarious situations, but, you know, in effect makes all workers sort of less safe in their working conditions. And so maybe you could, you know, this is sort of our final question as we wrap it up. Maybe talk a bit about, you know, when we talk about status for all and the importance of regularization, the importance of all people having status, how do we build this from the ground up? How do we build power in our communities to actually, you know, work towards a city that's not a sweatshop city, but a city that's a sanctuary city? Maybe we could get some of your thoughts on that, Jim.
Well, one of the things that's been going on in the city for some time is trying to create a trying to create access to without fear for people with less than full status, so that they can get services like, for example, women who without immigration status, who are a victim of a crime, they should be able to go to the police and not be afraid of getting deported. Workers should be able to go to the Ministry of Labor and make complaints without worrying about getting turned over to the immigration authorities. In schools, children should be able to, parents should be able to put their children in school regardless of whether they have immigration status. All of these kinds of people should be able to access health services without having to worry about whether they have immigration status. And so all of these basic human needs have to be, people have to have access to the services that meet these basic human needs without fear of being deported if they access these services.
Yeah, definitely. And so to find out more about Known as Illegal and the work that we do, you can check out our website at toronto.knowoneisillegal.org. That's been our show for this week. Tune back in 2 weeks' time. OCAP Radio is coming up next. We're just going to throw to another track. It's track 2 on the CD. It's from a local artist, Unknown Misery. His CD just came out last week, and the song is called No Justice, No Peace. Thanks for being with us this week, and stay tuned for OCAP Radio coming up next.
Flash your face mask, police standing by your gear, and tear gas, no justice, no peace. I scream, no justice, no peace, till we free. We take the streets with picket signs, flag your face mask, police standing by your gear, and tear gas, no justice, no peace. I scream, no justice, no peace, till we free. We take the streets by storm, picket signs, fit adults and newborns, marching for freedom, justice in the end of wars. The future's in my eyes, reflection, look deep, you see my intersection, the streets and the youth reflect the east to west. Only got your testament. Police divisions out heavy when we rally through the city. Cause another brother like Howie got killed by a piggy. No justice, no peace. The children scream from their guts. Fuck the police. It's fucking scheme cause we had enough. We have a dream that we hustle for. Freedom ain't free to us. Free us from these cuffs cause the piggy bought clubs. The cats are being harmed. This ain't a war on terrorists. It's a war on Islam. Stay calm. Genocide on civilians. Is this Vietnam? All power to the people. Out of power, evil. People amongst themselves. Colonizers burning hell. Streets with picket signs, flags and face masks, police standing by your gear, and tear gas, no justice, no peace. I scream, no justice, no peace, till we free. We take the streets with picket signs, flags and face masks, police standing by your gear, and tear gas, no justice, no peace. I scream, no justice, no peace, till we free. No one is illegal, educate, don't incarcerate. Stop deporting people, y'all better listen. Cause the people with no division is when the truth is prison. The fight feast 14, most of them free. Respect to all my comrades, I'm glad you're marching with me. Free to Cuba, 5, free Mamiya, it's freedom time. The system had me blind till I seen you nearly lost my mind. But I'm okay, cause I got you to march beside. It's action, praxis, combined energies by the masses. I feel the love and distress. Through the pain, through the rain, y'all keep me sane. And save my spirit from this rap game. You're like the roots of hip-hop, marching for freedom to the hilltop. Let's keep chanting and applying this pressure. I got your back, comrade, cause we can never let each other fall, ever. We take the streets with picket signs, flags and face masks, police standing by your gear, and tear gas, no justice, no peace. I scream, no justice, no peace, till we free. We take the streets with picket signs, flags and face masks, police standing by your gear, and tear gas, no justice, no peace. I scream, no justice, no peace, till we free. The fascists wanna clash with us, the yuppies wanna laugh at us, the police wanna clash with us.